Different times in my life growing up, individuals would call out my name. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, if you'll look in your Bible again at that scripture reading, the Hebrew writer records in the life of Abraham, by faith Abraham when he was called. We're going to review our past VBS. And we're going to focus on living the God-called life. One of the problems with doing a review every year after the VBS is all week long the subject has been covered from every possible angle and nothing is left for the preacher. We covered Abraham from faith and sacrifice and trial and trust and all kinds of angles, and then Chris is supposed to get up and do a review. But I'm glad to do it. And I've got a bone to pick with Jeff because on Friday night he reviewed the whole week. I really didn't have anything after Jeff's talk. So I thought, I'm going to focus on the calling. I want to talk about Abraham and living the God-called life. We're going to focus this morning and we're going to review, but from the standpoint of God calling us. And I remember growing up times when my name would be called. Do you remember that? Sometimes it was a good thing and sometimes it was a not so good thing. I remember when my mother would open up the door on a Saturday and we'd be out playing in the yard. Boys, come in, it's time to eat. I remember that. Boy, that was a great calling because I knew that there would be, especially if she was going to make Mexican food, which the Hispanic brethren taught her how to make Mexican food. Boy, I couldn't wait to get in there to get that. But then there would be other times when, for example, we lived in two different places where we had a two-story house, and I'd be upstairs with my brothers and we'd be either laying in bed or goofing around, and Dad would walk to the base of the steps and he would call out. It would be different. It would be, boys, we need to get outside and get to work. We'd be, oh, great. So that's a different kind of calling. I didn't look forward to that one. We'd be out on the playground and the teacher would come outside and blow her whistle. Recess is over. It's time to get inside. I didn't like that calling. Oh, man. But then there would be other times when the teacher would call out your name. If you were making decent grades, there would be a list of names that would be called out. You get to go on a field trip next week because you were making good grades. Remember that? Or you get part of the day off, or you can have free time because you've been making good grades. Your name would be called. Are you responding to God calling you? He doesn't do that physically with a physical voice, but this Bible that you hold in your hands, He's trying to call out to you. Are you doing anything with that call? Do we do nothing? Do we do something? Are we interested? Are we making any changes? Hebrews 11, verse 8, very simple statement. By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out into a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out. What are you doing with God's call today? What am I doing? Is it purely a curiosity thing? Well, that's kind of interesting, but I'm not going to do anything with it. Or do I get up like Abraham and obey? So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to review the different things that we've studied this past week, but under the idea of God calling us to do some things, do we hear that voice and heed that voice? It's time for us to get up and obey. And those of us who have already responded to the calling, it's time for us to continue responding to that calling. It doesn't stop with conversion. It's a daily calling us to obedience. But how do you respond? How do I respond? Before we get into the life of Abraham, let me just remind ourselves with regard to Christians in the church today that we are a God-called people. Let me just briefly remind ourselves of a few things in the New Testament before going back and looking at the life of Abraham. For example, the church, the word church simply means called out. When Jesus said, I will build my church, he's talking about people that have been called out of the world. And God calls everyone, Acts 2:39. It's not a call for just a particular people. Anyone and everyone is called by God. And we're called to be Christians. We don't use denominational names. You don't find the names of various denominations in the New Testament. You don't find that. And the members of the church were called, a divine calling, they were called Christians, Acts 11:26. And we're called to belong to Jesus. Wouldn't that be nice to leave this morning belonging to Jesus, called to be Jesus Christ, and called to be saints? Wouldn't it be nice this morning if we could all belong to Jesus? And God calls us to have fellowship with Him. Don't we want to have a close association, 1 Corinthians 1:9, with God, with sin removed? We can have a close fellowship and sharing with God and Jesus, and He calls us to have that. Many people today are lacking in a close relationship with God. You can have that. That's what the call is for. And we can be called to have freedom from sin. We don't have to be shackled with sin in our life, the shame of sin or the guilt of sin or that weighing down on our conscience. That can be removed and we can be free from that. I don't know of anybody that likes to be enslaved. And we can be freed from that, Galatians 5:13. And God calls us in one hope. To have that hope of heaven. People, we're going to talk this evening about hope in a particular area of our life. But so many people are without that today. Don't you want freedom from sin? Don't you want the hope of heaven? Don't you want that upward calling, that calling that's calling us up to heaven? To get out of the muck and the mire of the world and get our eyes on heaven. The Hebrew writer in chapter 3 and verse 1 calls it a heavenly calling. An upward, a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't we want that kind of calling? To come up out of the things of the world that are bad for us and get on that road to heaven. God calls us into one body where we can have a spiritual relationship with other men and women in the Lord's church, the body of Christ. I'm hearing today that a lot of people out in the world, they're looking for some sort of connection. I'm hearing that a lot today. I need a connection with someone. And that's the body of Christ. Young people are disconnected. Young people have a hard time even having a physical conversation with other people because it's so much about them and their phone that they're having trouble even just talking to their parents. Just talking to another young person. I'm hearing today that so many people are disconnected and they're longing for some sort of a relationship with others. You know, you can have that in the one body of Christ. And God calls us to get the sin out of our lives. We were talking about that this morning in Bible class and sanctification, to be separate. And we're called to be to sanctify ourselves and to set ourselves apart. If a sin comes in our life later, as we learned this morning, we can confess that and the blood of Jesus is still there to cleanse us, but we're not going to live each and every day in a sinful life. We're going to separate from that because it's bad for us. You know, you might have friends that are just have so many problems in their lives because of sin. And God calls us out of that. And God calls us through the gospel. It's not some, well, I'm waiting for maybe a voice in my inner ear. Maybe God's going to whisper to me, or maybe God's going to show me a vision, or He's going to talk directly. No, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:14 that it's this gospel message that God calls us. So as I read my New Testament, He's calling me. As I hear sermons, as I read my Bible, God is calling me. Are we going to get up and obey like Abraham did? And even as a Christian, when I continue to read my Bible, God is calling me. The calling is not a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. Am I going to respond the way Abraham did? You know, when Dad stood down at the base of the stairs and he said, "Boys, get down here, we got to get to work." I didn't want to get up. In fact, I drug my feet. I stayed on my bed as long as I could. I don't want to get out there in that hot Texas sun and pull weeds. I don't want to do that. But I knew that there would be a ramification if I didn't respond to that call. And there's going to be a ramification, brethren and friends, if we don't respond to God's call. And on a positive side, when Mom said, "Boys, get in here, it's time to eat," I'm going to get in there and I'm going to get the tortillas and the refried beans and the Spanish rice and the tacos and the enchiladas. I'm going to get all of that stuff that I love. When I respond to God's call, I'm going to get all of those great things that we love in the Christian life. Let's respond to that. God calls us with a holy calling because He Himself is holy, and He's calling upon us to be like Him. God calls us to eternal glory that's going to be in heaven one day. 1 Peter 5:10. Don't you want to be there? Sometimes we hear about heaven on earth. Sherry and I were reading something recently, an online review where a person said, "This was a living hell." Well, you know, we want to bring heaven down to earth, and we want to, you know, have hell on earth. Listen, there's nothing great on earth that even gets close to heaven. There's nothing bad on earth that even gets close to hell. So we've kind of watered down those terms by saying things the way we say them. And somebody says, "Well, you know, I went to Hawaii last year, and boy, it was heaven on earth." Well, I'm sure Hawaii is pretty. I'd love to go there one day. I've seen some pictures, and man, it looks awesome. But it's not even close to heaven. To call us to eternal glory, to have that home in heaven is going to be such a wonderful thing. But we've got to respond to that call. And we've got to do it before it's too late. And God calls us to faithfulness. We are called and chosen and faithful. God calls us to a life of service to Him and faithfulness, and we can do it. And we look around us today and we see men and women who are doing it. They're living faithful lives, and we can be a part of that. So just to remind ourselves briefly this morning that this is what God has for us. So let's look at the life of Abraham, and I want to talk about three things this morning. God called Abraham to go, to grow, and to give. And He's calling us to do the same thing. He called him to go, to get up and go from point A to point B. We've got to get up and get out of a life of sin. And he called him to grow. Abraham did not just obey God on one day, and in that one day, that's all there was to serving God. It was a lifelong service of growth from the beginning to the end. And it's the same for us today. And he called Abraham to give. We live in a selfish world where that's difficult for many people to do, but serving Christ today means that we're going to have to get up and go somewhere. Number two, we're going to have to grow in the right direction. And number three, we're going to have to give some things. Let's see how that unfolds in the life of Abraham. Turn back with me now to Genesis chapter 12. From Genesis chapter 12 to the beginning of Genesis chapter 25, we have the story of Abraham. It is 100 years of his life from chapter 12 to the beginning of chapter 25. He enters into the land of Canaan at 75 years old, and he dies in chapter 25 at 175 years old. From chapter 12 to chapter 25 is 100 years in the life of Abraham. What is that life? It is a God-called life. And we have that same life today. We need to respond in the same way. First of all, in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, what last Sunday night I called the first two words of the Abraham story, get out of thy country. Abraham was called to go. Brethren, we cannot be saved today by staying where we're at. We're going to have to get up from where we're at, and we're going to have to go somewhere else. Physically and spiritually, we cannot be saved by staying at point A. We got to get to point B. And Abraham was called to go from Ur of the Chaldees. I believe that's mentioned four times in Scripture, Ur of the Chaldees. Stephen talked about that going in Acts 7, and the Hebrew writer talked about it this morning in our Scripture reading, and Moses records it in the book of Genesis here. Get up, get out of thy country, and come into the land of Canaan. Number one, the God-called life is a call to go. And the text says that Abraham got up and did that. Now, last Sunday night, I talked about this place that he was leaving. It was a beautiful place. It was a metropolis. Ur of the Chaldees was not some podunk little town. This is a beautiful, it'd be like New York City or Chicago or L.A. or Atlanta. This is a beautiful place to be. And Abraham is living in this place, and he's told to get up and go and get out. And he does. The God-called life is a life to get up and go. And as tempting as it is today to stay put, well, I've put down roots in this such and such place, and that's what the devil wants. You've always been in this life of sin. Just stay right there. I've put down roots, and I'm comfortable, and I'm older, and I'm content and comfortable, and I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. He gets us to thinking that way. But we've got to get from point A to point B. You've got to get up and go. We've seen recently, we have among us some who've done that very thing. They were in point A, and they've been at point A many years in their life, but they said, enough is enough. We're going to get up and go somewhere else. And what a beautiful thing that is. And every case of conversion in the book of Acts is getting up and going from point A, sin, to point B, salvation. We got to get up and go. And so Abraham was called to go. Bob talked about this, some 900 to 1,000 miles. We're not talking about walking around the block. We're talking about some 900 to 1,000 miles, a very long and dusty and dirty and dry journey. But why? Because God wants me to get up and get out and go. And He's calling us to do the same. Abraham was called to go, and we're called to go. And so we're called out of darkness, Peter says, into His marvelous or wonderful light. The darkness there is the sin of the world. And we've got to get up and go and get out of that. The devil says, no, stay in the darkness. And there are so many people today, stay in the darkness of ignorance. Stay in the darkness of false teaching. Stay in the darkness of sin. Just stay there. It's your comfortable worldly life. Well, I gotta think about my job, and I gotta think about school, and I gotta think about sports and hobbies, and I got stuff going on in my life. No, get out of that. Get out of that life of sin. The Bible way, the biblical way, the scriptural way. We are called out of darkness into His marvelous light. We gotta get out of this life of sin and worldliness and into Christ, and that's done by being baptized into Christ. When Paul preached to Felix in the book of Acts, he said, go thy way. When I have a convenient season, I will call thee. I just want to stay put in my life of sin. I'm comfortable. And preacher, you just go on your way. And Agrippa, two chapters later, Paul's preaching to him, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. I'm just almost there. I don't want to get up and go. You got me kind of moving in that direction. No. But I don't want to actually go there. Abraham didn't do that. Abraham got up and took off by faith and through obedience. And he was so greatly rewarded for it. Brethren, if we will do the same, we will have that same blessing in our life. But number two, Abraham was not only called to go, but Abraham was called to grow. When we see him come into the land of Canaan, turn with me to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 5, into the land of Canaan they came. What do we find from Genesis 12 through Genesis 25? What do we find in this 100-year period of Abraham's life? It's a life of growing. Look at chapter 12. What did Abraham do when he got into the land of Canaan? Verse 7. He built an altar. He built an altar. One of the first things that he did was he wanted to worship God. But by chapter 22, what is he doing? He's offering up his son. So going from putting some stones together to build an altar to sacrificing your own son. That's growth. He grew in faith. He grew in obedience. He grew in action. He grew in patience. He enters in at 75 years old, at 100 years old, 25 years later, he's offering up his son at some point even after that. We don't know exactly how old Isaac was. 100 plus years old later. This man did more than just go. He was called to grow because when he got there, God continues to call him to do even greater things. It doesn't end at baptism. It's just the beginning of a life of growing in service to God. And there are many here this morning who have done that very thing. Brethren, we need to get up and go. And after we get up and go, and we go to the waters of baptism, and we get out of this life of sin, and we go and we get into the body of Christ through baptism, then at that point, there's another calling, and that is the call to grow. And let us be doing that. We don't want to remain babes in Christ. We don't want to remain immature. We want to grow. We don't want to be struggling with the same temptations. We don't want to have just the same level of Bible knowledge that we had last year. We want more growth. And that's what the life of Abraham is all about. So we studied Monday night the going part. And Tuesday night, I talked about his relationship with Lot that I'll talk about in just a minute. And then Wednesday, we talked about the sacrificing part. And Wednesday, we talked about the times when Abraham was not faithful like he should have been, the times when he lied, or the times when he didn't trust in God and believed that the child would come through Sarah, so he had a child with Hagar. There's times where he had to become more faithful. This is growing, brethren. And he and Sarah laugh. But if you turn with me to Romans chapter 4, before we move on, turn with me to Romans chapter 4. When Paul talks about Abraham in Romans chapter 4, the whole chapter is all about Abraham from the beginning there all the way down through. When Paul chooses to talk about Abraham, he focuses on this matter of growth. The Hebrew writer focuses on the matter of going and getting out. Paul focuses on the matter of growth. And when it came time for Abraham and Sarah to grow in believing that the child would come from them, the text says in verse 20, yet looking unto the promise of God, he waxed or grew strong. He wavered not through unbelief, but waxed or grew strong through faith, giving glory to God. There's a growth process going on here in Romans 4. And each time God is adding things on, from chapter 12 to chapter 25 of Genesis, Abraham is learning to grow. And we are learning to do the same in our life today. Let us heed that call to grow. Don't stay at the same level, brother. Don't stay at the same level of faith. Don't stay at the same level of action. Don't stay at the same level of patience. In fact, when I look in my New Testament, I see four areas in the New Testament where growth is mentioned. Number one, growth in fruit bearing. We need to bear more fruit, which is good works. We need to be doing more this year than we were doing last year. We're supposed to grow in our faith, 2 Corinthians 10 and 2 Thessalonians 1. Our faith needs to be stronger this year than it was last year. We're to grow in unity and working with our brethren in the local church. Our unity at Warfield is to be stronger this year than it was last year. We're to be growing in our knowledge of God's Word. We're to know more this year than we did last year. Someone says, well, I'll go to the waters of baptism and I'll sit in my pew. But after that, just please allow me to stagnate. Please allow me to plateau and level out and just sort of coast the rest of my life. And maybe I might bump into heaven one day. No. There's words in the New Testament like grow and increase, abound, excel. Paul uses those words a lot to talk about this, not this. So we're called to go, we're called to grow. And we need to be doing that very thing. And then last of all, Abraham was called to give. And again, like I mentioned earlier, this is very difficult for a lot of people today. Today it's about me, me, me. And faithful service to Christ is about you, you, you. Giving to God, giving to others. One of the best things that we can do as parents and grandparents is to teach the next generation below us the importance of sacrifice and service. Not give me, give me, give me. The selfish approach to life hurts the individual and those around them. And so Abraham is called to give. Let me talk a little bit this morning about the five areas in which he was called to give. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 13, he was called to give in. When he's in Ur of the Chaldees, and God says, get out of your country and go to Canaan, he has to give in to God with this selfless attitude. Okay, God, I'll get up from the Ur of the Chaldees, modern day Iraq, down near the Persian Gulf. I'm going to travel all the way up that Tigris-Euphrates River Valley, and then I'm going to come back down into Canaan. It's a long, dusty, dirty journey, but I'm going to give in to God. And then in chapter 13, when he has a disagreement with his nephew Lot, and they have so many herds that they're eating all of the foraging and eating all of the grass and things there, they need to split up and divide up the pasture land. He's willing to give in. You take what you want. I'll take the rest. Lot chose the well-watered plain of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham said, I'll go somewhere else. He was called to give in. And we need to give in to God. And in matters of judgment, we need to give in with our brethren. Give in. Today, it's about, I'm going to resist. I'm going to put my foot down. I'll show, you know, who's in control and who's boss, and I'm not going to give in an inch. Okay. Well, you're not going to get the blessings of God. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 14, when Abraham went to rescue Lot. He was called to give out. Give out. Pour yourself out for others. We're losing that today. Give out. Sacrifice. Paul said, I'm willing to spend and be spent. That's beautiful language. Just spend me. Spend me. Use me. Use me up any way that you can in God's service. What a beautiful thought. Wow. Not this stingy, greedy, I might give God, you know, a little bit of something today. Give out. And so he goes and rescues Lot. And then when he gets back, he gives a tenth to God. A giver. Not a stingy miser. Well, I'll give God three services a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He ought to be glad he's getting that. And when the plate comes around, I'll put a little money in there. I'll give him some. That's the way so many people think today. And then you turn with me to chapter 15 through 21. He has to learn to give up and surrender to God, to God's plan. It's the child of blessing is not going to be Eliezer, chapter 15. And it's not going to be Hagar and Ishmael, chapter 16. It's going to be Isaac. And he's got to learn to give up his ideas about things. Well, God, it can be Eliezer, right? No, you got to give up that idea. And in chapter 16, well, maybe it'll be Hagar and Ishmael. No, you got to give up that idea. That's not right. And you've got to surrender to God's plan. And he had to learn to do that. And he had to learn to surrender to godly living and faithful living. And then you get to chapter 22. He had to learn to give over. I'm going to give over to someone else what belongs to me. This only begotten son belongs to me, and I'm going to give it over to you. Do you ever? It's hard sometimes to give over something to somebody else. Every once in a while I might have a family heirloom or something, and I get... Okay, you can have it. Let alone our own son. Well, I'm definitely not going to do that. But he had to learn to give over. I'm going to give over my son to God. And God provided a sacrifice instead of the son, and God blessed him once again. But he was called to give over and over and over again. And then last of all, when you look at chapter 23, 24, and 25, the last part of his life, he lived on another 38 years after Sarah died. He spent that time giving what I'm going to call a head. Well, Chris, what do you mean by that, give a head? What do you mean? Do you remember a few years back that thing that was going around here in the States, pay forward? Do you remember that a few years ago, pay forward? And that got sent around, and so people were doing this thing where they would be in the drive-thru, and they would pay for their meal and stuff, and then they would say, I want to pay for the person behind me. Remember when that was going on a little bit? You go, pay it forward. There was a pay it forward campaign that went around. That's a great thing. We need to do that every day. But that's gone by the wayside. You know, these little things come and go, you know, after a while. 23 through 25, basically, Abraham realizes, I'm not going to be on this earth forever. I'm going to pay it forward. So he makes plans to make sure that Sarah is buried. And then in chapter 24, he sends his servant to get a good wife for his son Isaac, paying it forward. I'm thinking ahead. I'm planning ahead. And then at the beginning of chapter 25, he's giving some gifts to his children. Are we planning ahead? Are we giving in order to plan ahead for that next generation? And when I'm not here anymore, are we giving in that regard? Pay it forward. Give ahead. That's a great sign. And so, brethren, we're called to do the same. We're called to give in. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8:13, I will not eat meat if it's going to cause my brother to stumble. I'm going to give in on a matter of judgment. There's all kinds of things, brethren, that are in the realm of judgment. There's things involving this worship service today that are in the realm of judgment. I might have a different opinion about it. Okay? But I don't have to press it. I don't have to force it. There might be some things I think would be better. Realm of judgment. Give in. And then I've got to learn to give out. In 1 John 3:16, it sounds like John 3:16. They're the same type of thing. John 3:16, 1 John 3:16. Where 1 John 3:16 says that I lay down my life for my brothers. I've got to be willing to give out, even if it's my own self. And I've got to be willing to give up, to deny myself and take up my cross. And daily follow Jesus, Luke 9, 23 and 24. And I've got to learn to give my life over to Christ. Paul said, it's not I that live, but Christ who lives in me. I'm just going to give myself over to serving Christ each and every day. And then I'm going to give ahead. We just finished 2 Peter. And Peter says, before I die, I want to bring you into remembrance of some things so that after my decease, after I die, you can call to remembrance such and such. What's he doing? He's paying it forward. He's thinking ahead. Paul said, I'm about to die, Timothy. Here's some things that I would like for you to do. The time of my departure has come. As parents and grandparents and older brethren, let's be paying it forward. We're not going to be here forever. So our time, our talents, our money, other things, we can be mentoring people, helping people, mentoring, teaching. We're not going to be here forever. Let's start paying it forward right now. And giving of ourselves in that way. And what we'll find is we will be blessed just like Abraham was. My question to you this morning as we close is simply this. Are you and I living the God-called life? Or are we living the life where, well, I do my own thing. God uses this. And He's wanting us to do three things. He wants this to get us up and go. And we're going to sing a song of encouragement in just a minute. And if I could get you to get up and go up here to this water, that would be great. Or as a child of God, if we've erred in some way and I need to get up and go to the front and we can pray together and get encouragement together, that would be good too. But He's calling me to get up and go. I cannot be saved at where I'm at. I got to get from point A to point B. Now my life now at point B might be pretty good. Things are good at school, and things are good at work, and things are good here and there, and, you know, family life and all. But if there's sin in your life, you got to get up and go. Go somewhere else. And He's using this, number two, to get us to grow. But we have to want to do that. He's not going to force us to go. He's not going to force us to grow. But if we'll be like Abraham, and we'll go, and we'll grow, we will be so blessed just like He was. And He uses this to call us to give. To give in. To give out. To give up. To give over. To give ahead. I love the text in Hebrews 11 and 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. You don't read about kicking and screaming. Don't read about that. He obeyed kicking and screaming. Nope. Think about the love that he had for that call and the desire and all of those emotions that would have been in his life. I just want to do what God wants me to do. Let's get to that point today and each and every day thereafter. And we will be blessed like Abraham was. Jesus said that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are in the kingdom of heaven. They're in the kingdom of heaven. And it's because Abraham, from beginning to end, chose to live that God-called life. We're going to sing the song of invitation, and I asked Don if he would lead an old song that I grew up with, God Calling Yet. God calling yet. He's still calling. But let me tell you something. One day, that call's not going to be there. It's not going to be there. It's not going to be any more sermons. There's not going to be any more invitation songs. There's not going to be any more parents talking to us. There's not going to be any of that. God is calling yet. That's right. Right now. But there's going to come a day when that's not going to be the case. There came a day when I didn't hear my mother's voice anymore. I didn't hear that anymore. Yeah. And there came a day when I didn't hear my father's voice anymore. Okay? I would love to hear that again. Even if it meant getting outside in the hot weather, pulling weeds, I'd give anything to hear that again. I would love to hear Mom say, it's time to eat. God's calling right now, yet means still. But there's going to come a day when He's not. Please live the God-called life while you can. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?